Well, hello, folks, and welcome back to the Rest in Culture Show. I am your host, Frank Ebersold. And this week, we'd like to talk a little bit about the Russian election meddling story and the subsequent delay tactics. But before we really get into detail about that, you know that if I thought for a second that Donald Trump and Paul Ryan actually cared about Americans' health care, I'd say so. And if I actually thought that they cared about providing the best coverage at the best possible price, I'd say so. And lastly, if I thought that Donald Trump and Paul Ryan wanted to cover those making less than $15,000 a year with Medicaid coverage, I'd say so. I'd tell you. However, when you sum it all up, they don't care a rat's ass about any of the above. Their motive to passing health care is to shake out $1.2 trillion so they can simply stay budget neutral and use all of that money to give tax cuts to the top 1%, like I said in last week's episode 19. You know, it goes without saying that it's a selfish motive that puts money for the rich above Americans, and I've got a problem with that. And if you care about the kind of watered-down health care they're trying to pass off here to Americans, you'd feel about it just the same as I do. You know, even after the defeat last week of the health care bill, Paul Ryan admitted that it would hurt his plan for tax cuts for the rich. Of course, he doesn't call it tax cuts for the rich, but that's what it turns out to be. You can see my website, www.rustedculture.com, and on last week's episode, there's a link to a study by a reputable company that shows that it would do just that, give the tax cuts to the rich. But by not passing the health care bill like they wanted to do, it's going to make that job that much more difficult. To use this budget reconciliation that only requires a simple majority vote, they're going to have to stay budget neutral with whatever they pass. And it's got to be budget neutral over 10 years. Otherwise, they can't use budget reconciliation. And using budget reconciliation guarantees that when the bill does go to the Senate, and you can be sure that it would, it can pass with a simple majority vote, and most importantly, it can't be filibustered or stopped in the Senate. And you know, that's important because to overcome a filibuster in the Senate, it's going to take two-thirds of a majority vote, which the Republicans don't have, even if every senator voted along party lines. They can't establish a two-thirds vote. So that's why they're using budget reconciliation. So what's happened since last week's vote here? You know, one important thing that has actually happened over the past week is that a lot of states have started scratching their head. They're looking at this Obamacare plan, and even some Republican ones are now considering expanding Medicaid. And some of this has happened just in the past day or two. You've got states like Kansas, Georgia, Idaho, Nebraska, and even South Dakota, Republican stronghold states, they're considering expanding Medicaid to cover the poor in their state because it actually works and it saves lives. Well, you know, this, my friends, scares the Sam hell out of Paul Ryan and Donald Trump because the last thing they want is for more states to expand Medicaid and further impede their ability to kill Obamacare and use that money in killing Obamacare for tax cuts for the rich 1%. You know, just last week, Donald Trump was evidently moving on to the tax cut plan. But he was just willing to let Obamacare just sit and explode, or implode, as he put it. But now he's scared witless, scared out of his mind, that states could expand Medicaid. Oh, my God. Wow. Now, just today, he's saying that they're going to easily pass health care again, once more again today. Well, folks, you just have to follow the money. He doesn't care about really getting a great health care plan. He just wants the money for the tax cuts. And if more states expand Medicaid coverage, he's darn scared that, it's going to screw things up for him. And so now it appears like they're once again motivated to kill Obamacare. Just follow the money. You know, like I've said 1,000 times, you know, fix it, don't kill it. And I really believe here that the Democrats should be more vocal about saying they're willing to fix it and put the brakes on killing it. You know, I'd like to see the Dems just get over Democrats just get over nominating Neil Gorsuch here. Just get over it. He's going to be the next Supreme Court justice. He's actually not a bad nominee. We could do far worse in my opinion, and he's going to get confirmed anyway. You know, I'd like to see them put all that energy, all that robust energy in trying to defeat the you know, charge of the Light Brigade here as it is, trying to defeat nominating Neil Gorsuch. I'd like to see him put all that energy towards making a big stand on Obamacare instead. You know, get out there, work with some of these Republicans, fix Obamacare before Trump, Ryan, and Dr. Jekyll do something really stupid with it. And we'll be right back in a second with a little bit more. So, folks, here we are. Just what in the Sam Hill is going on with the congressional probe about Russia's meddling in our election? What is going on? The world is watching, and let alone all of America wants to know. It's all gone dramatic. All gone dramatic. You've got Devin Nunes, the Republican chairman, received some type of evidence last week. We don't know what. He briefed Donald Trump on it, but he still hasn't shared that evidence with a committee that is investigating this whole mess. And then what's more, he then cancels last Tuesday's committee meeting and also canceled Sally Yates' testimony, which, let's face it, probably would have been unfavorable for the president. But why all the stall tactics? Why the delay? Why the stall? You know, Devin Nunes, he wanted to meet with James Comey, the FBI director, this week. But James purportedly said, not till you get your act together or something like that. So the whole effort on Nunes' part is to stall and not share info except with Donald Trump. And I don't know. You know, this is all starting to sound really suspicious, like helping the president kind of suspicious. Is there some new information that draws Trump yet even closer to the Russians? I mean, that would be a problem, wouldn't it? Let's look back, you know, throughout the whole campaign, Trump has said all day long, nonstop, that he had no contact with the Russians. And if he did, folks, that makes him a liar, doesn't it? I mean, pure and simple. Let alone whatever kind of discussion in the subject of that discussion was that might have taken place with them. So the pieces are fitting together in my mind, and although it's speculation, I will say that Trump's tweet that Obama tapped my wires may actually mean that he was a part of some conversation that incidentally was picked up because the person he was talking to was under surveillance. Not the same as being tapped, but I can see Trump's paranoia of being tapped in that scenario. You know, that explains or could explain Trump's disdain for the intelligence community at large. So is Devin Nunes slowly slowing this whole committee's probe, you know, putting the brakes on it? Is he slowing this whole committee's probe into Russian meddling all the way down to a crawl because it now involves the president even closer? Even if in a way that may or may not show wrongdoing? I mean, theoretically, that's what I think is going on here. I don't know how you could avoid that analysis. I mean, the fact that Nunes can't seem to act independently and is trying to apparently shield Donald Trump is a problem that can only be fixed by an independent investigation. I mean, it's all starting to sound like Trump might be closer to Russia than he led us to believe. Yet another credibility issue, at best for Donald Trump. You know, Trump is trying so hard, so dang hard, to deny the story, trying to change the narrative here. Like this whole thing about the Russian meddling in our election would just simply fade away. You know, like a misty fog in the morning, just fade away. He's trying so hard to change the narrative by tweeting. Actually, we're going to bring back Elmer here. Elmer, can you read us that tweet, please?
Well, thanks, Frank. It's good to be back here on the Rusted Culture Show. And this tweet is from Donald Trump from March 27th. Why isn't the House Intelligence Committee looking into the Bill and Hillary deal that allowed big uranium to go to Russia? Russian speech. Money to Bill. The Hillary Russian reset. Praise of Russia by Hillary or the Podesta Russian company. Trump Russia story is a hoax. Hashtag make America great again.
Well, thanks, Elmer. Some of the pronunciation was a little off there, but we get the gist of it. Thanks. And you know, when Trump is saying the deal that let uranium go to Russia, Uranium One, that's actually, was an international Canadian company with operations in the United States. And here in the United States, they only produced 11% of the U.S.'s uranium, according to PolitiFact. Russia purchased the company in 2010. The U.S. okayed the deal as a part of a strategic asset program that's in place. And in saying that the U.S. okayed the deal, yes, Hillary was one of nine agency heads that did vote on the deal. And even after the deal was okayed, Russia can't export the U.S. uranium from the USA. It stays here. Russian hands cannot get on our U.S. uranium. Well, Trump later talks about, in that same tweet, about Bill Clinton's speech in 2010 to a Russian investment bank for which he was paid $500,000, which is Bill Clinton's standard rate for a speech. Well, the bank regularly invites world leaders to speak at these events. It's not anything unusual. And Trump then talks about the Podesta Russian company, which is a U.S. company that included John Podesta on its board. The company later adds, a few months after John Podesta joined, the company added a Russian banker to its board as well. But somehow Trump tries to weave this into a scandal. How he tries to do that is a bit of a mystery here. You know, if you'd like to see more details on that PolitiFact story, you can see my website. Well, remember the whole thing about Pizzagate? There's more. Hang on, that's coming right back in a second. Well, we've all heard of the whack job Alex Jones, you know, the insufferable conspiracy theorist at large. And now Alex Jones is so sorry that his radio program coverage of the Pizzagate hoax, which, by the way, as you remember, falsely claimed that Hillary Clinton was linked to a child sex trafficking ring hidden within the Washington, D.C. environs. In this little pizzeria called Comet Ping Pong, Alex Jones is so sorry that his fake news coverage negatively affected the owner and his business. So sad. Yes, folks, this is the same Alex Jones who claimed the Sandy Hook massacre of children was a fake story. And I'm just personally sick of the lies, sick of the fake news, and now Alex is bringing his coverage of Pizzagate up once again, getting all kinds of media coverage, by simply saying that he's sorry. You know what, Alex? Put your money where your mouth is. If you're so sorry about the coverage that you peddled, so sorry that your fake news almost put a little pizzeria out of business, then get your checkbook out of your pocket, blow the dust off of it, and show him the money. You've got the money. Write a check if you're so dang sorry about it. Folks, You know, that's what I can't trust about guys like this. They peddle fake news and the conspiracy theories instead of telling the truth just for the sake of making money. It's all just for the sake of promoting the show. And it's wrong. Absolutely wrong. It's endless insanity, Alex. Enough with the fake news just to build your show. Make it end. Please, make it end. Well, folks, I want to thank you for joining us here for this week. And as always, as I mentioned before, you can feel free to contact us at rustedcultureradar@gmail.com. Till next week, I'm saying goodbye.